Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show on a very pleasant day in Chicago, a little bit on the chilly side. But there's baseball out on the south side, and the Bears will be at Soldier Field. Not tomorrow, however. They have a Monday night game at Soldier Field. But there are a lot of things on the tube today, and there's a very, very big college game at 1 o'clock, Ohio State and UCLA. That should really be some kind of a battle. We're going to be talking baseball today with an old buddy of ours, Jim Fregosi, who was a fine ball player for many, many years. I saw him play many, many times, and is now the manager of the California Ball Club, and he has, I think, the qualities that should make him successful as a manager as he was as a player. He'll be our guest today, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Jim Fregosi, the manager of California, as our guest here today. As I mentioned before, he was a fine ball player and knows enough about the game and about handling people to be a successful manager. By the way, in your playing days, in the height of your playing days, were you looking forward to the job you have now?
Well, really, I think anybody that has played baseball, I played in the big leagues for 18 years, you want to stay in the game. I think baseball gets in your blood somewhat. And I started back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I went down to Puerto Rico to manage to find out if I would like it. I enjoyed it very much, and so I was really basically kept playing for 4 or 5 years until the right opportunity came along where I had a chance to manage a big league ball club.
Now, you were playing, and you played for different managers, and now you're a manager yourself. Has the picture changed from the responsibility of a manager today as it was, say, 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, I think our game has really changed a great deal in the past 5 or 6 years. I think the free agency has changed our game. I think the amount of money that the players are making today has changed the game. You no longer have the personal contact that you had with players in years past. In other words, you deal mostly now through their agents. You know, I kid a lot of the players. I ask them, can you play tonight? I said, I haven't called your agent and checked with you first, you know. So, but it's fun. I enjoy the game, and it's been good to me.
How many managers did you play for? Who were they?
Well, I started my playing career under Bill Rigney. I played for him for 8 or 9 years, and then Lefty Phillips came and took over our ball club. The first wise move he made was when he traded me and got rid of me and went to New York Mets, where I played for Gil Hodges and Yogi Berra. From there, I went to Texas and played for Whitey Herzog and Billy Martin. And then I went on and played for Chuck Tanner at Pittsburgh before I took over the Angel Ball Club. In fact, they called Chuck Tanner in Pittsburgh, Mr. Autry and Buzzy Bavese did. They said, do you think that Jim can handle managing a major league ball club? And Chuck said, well, he's been trying to manage my club for 2 years now.
I always enjoyed Tanner.
Oh, Chuck's Chuck's a fine guy. He plays an exciting brand of baseball. He does have one thing, a great deal of speed over at Pittsburgh, and he uses it very wisely. He is the type of manager that will not go by the book, so to speak. He will take chances and do things, and he has done a very fine job with the Pittsburgh Ball Club as well as he did with the Chicago Ball Club when he was here.
A hypothetical situation. If you have in the first inning runners on first and second, do you bunt them down or do you go ahead, or does it depend on who the hitter is?
Well, I think it depends on many things. I think, first of all, it depends on the pitcher you have pitching for your ball club. If you have, say, the star of your staff, the ace of your staff, where you know if you get him 2 runs that he's liable to hold it, maybe at that time you would bunt him over. But basically, with the type of ball club that I have, we have to play for the big inning. We have to score a lot of runs. Last year, for instance, we scored 860 runs during the season, which is the most runs scored in almost 20 years in baseball, and we did it by having big innings because we did not have the pitching staff to hold a ball club in, so we just had to outscore people.
What about your pitching staff that you have now?
Well, I think that the back end of it is very fine. I've got a bullpen that's outstanding. Our problem has been our starting pitching. We have not been able to hold the other ball clubs in until I can get to my short men in the pen. So I'd say over the winter, the basic thing that we're going to try to do is try to find some starting pitching that can give me some innings.
And how can you do that? By trading?
Well, it's the basic way that you usually try to get them. You can go into the free agent market, but I think over the last 3 or 4 years, everybody that's gone into the free agent market to get pitchers, pitchers have a tendency to break down on you. And if you tie yourself up to 5 or 6 years and a long-term contract with a pitcher, it can end up hurting your ball club a great deal.
In your opinion, the way you mentioned here and in our chat and before we get on the air, you feel that free agency is good for the game, right?
I really do. I think it creates a great deal of excitement. It keeps the baseball in the papers year-round now. I think when they have the free agent draft and they take and they go and try to sign different players, I think it creates a lot of interest in our game. What you can do in the game of baseball now is if you have a star in one city that has drawn people and he has sort of worn out his welcome somewhat, where he does not continue to draw fans in that city, he can play out his option. You could trade for him, and he can draw fans in other cities.
You were mentioning the fact you mentioned a prominent pitcher, Nolan Ryan.
Well, Nolan Ryan was a player that pitched for me last year that did an outstanding job. We let him go in the free agency market. We did not sign him because we felt that monetarily he could not draw enough people into our ballpark to pay his salary, but he could go to a new city like Houston, Texas, where he went, and he can create that much excitement, and they can sell that many more season tickets where they can pay for his salary. So I think that's what free agency has done for our game. We have drawn more people as of late than ever in the history of baseball, and it's become one of the most popular sports in our country again.
I've often wondered about Nolan Ryan because I can recall a pitcher with Detroit, Newhouser, who was very, very wild in his early days of his career, and he became an outstanding control pitcher. What about Nolan Ryan?
Well, Nolan Ryan he's made his money in our game, so to speak, by striking people out. If you could ever get Nolan Ryan to just concentrate on getting people out instead of striking people out, I think that his record would be much, much better. But he goes for the strikeouts. But he is a fine, excellent pitcher.
Yes, he certainly is. What about the game as you view it now from a manager's chair rather than a player?
Well,
attitudes changed?
I think the attitudes have changed. My attitude has changed. I think as a player, you are so involved in your own career and your own individual achievements that sometimes things go on around you that you don't see. But as a manager, you have 25 players, and you have to watch them every day and see what they do. So it really gives you a different perspective of the game. I feel that it is quite a challenge for me to manage a major league ball club. I enjoy it, and as a manager, you no longer get the personal achievement type of thing, the feeling of hitting a ball out of the ballpark as a player. But as a manager, when someone that maybe you've helped a little bit or worked with him and he does something well, you really get excited by that. So I think instead of just as an individual, you get a good sense of feeling out of 25 guys. You also get the bad parts. When they go into a slump, you feel bad for them. You have to try to talk them out of it. So it is really a thing that sometimes I feel more like a psychiatrist. I should have a couch in my office where they come in and lay down you and talk to them.
Well, your boss is a nice guy and a very, very good friend of mine, Gene Autry. I got to know him very well when he was around Chicago for years.
Well, Gene is a fine man. He's owned the ball club for 20 years now, and last year was a great excitement for him because it was the first time that the ball club had ever won the division, and I could see that smile on his face. And he is basically not what you would consider the typical owner in baseball. He is what I consider a fan. He has ups and downs just like fans do. He gets mad at ball players if they don't do well, and he's behind them 100% when they're going well, and he just loves the game, and he loves to come in and talk about the old-time players, and he just really enjoys the game.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Jim Fregosi, the manager of California. Remember, they're playing the White Sox. The Sox are home now. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Jim Fregosi, an outstanding ball player, manager of California. Jim, you're reading the papers today and you hear fellas talk on sports shows, radio and television shows about the problem of the drug traffic. As a manager, does that give you concern?
Well, certainly. I think it's something that's in our society today. There is problems with youth as well as adults as far as usage of drugs. And I think that our game has done a number of things. A lot of organizations have set up rehabilitation type of things for alcohol as well as drugs. And I think it's something that all of us in baseball have to be careful with. We have to work at it. We have to try to understand the problems of young players today. They have grown up in a society where drugs have been used. I think we have to go out and set it up where they understand the false that can come out, how they can ruin their life by it. I have worked on the President's Drug Abuse Council, and I've worked with a lot of young people outside the game as well as in the game, and I think that it's something that everybody should be aware of, that they should try to help these people. It's something that they can fall into a trap, so to speak, and we have got to get be more of a part of it.
From the top of the game, from the commissioner's office, are there rules about drugs?
Well, certainly there are. I think that the commissioner has been very tough on it. There was an incident just recently with Ferguson Jenkins, and he suspended Fergie, and it's a very unfortunate thing that a player of Ferguson Jenkins' quality has to be involved in something like that, but it's a problem. And we just cannot sit and condemn people. We have got to try to help them with their problems.
Now, you were always a pretty good hitter. What about hitters in baseball that, during their major league career, hit 230, 235, 233, so on and so forth, and I've seen so many of them. Why is it that these people can't be helped?
I believe that if you have a certain amount of God-given talent, that you can be helped. I think players can improve on their hitting. I think it really comes down to basic concentration. If you study the game and know what a pitcher is trying to do, I think you have a better chance to hit if you once get your mechanics where you can handle the bat. I think the game has changed to the extent that too many players today try to hit home runs because that is where they think in their mind they make the money and the glory. Yeah. Is by hitting the ball out of the ballpark, where a guy can stay within himself. The one thing I try to preach to all my players is know your own ability. If you are big and strong, you can hit the ball out of the ballpark. But if you're 170 pounds and you're 5'10", you have to hit the ball the other way. Get base hits. Stay within your own ability to the fact that to know what it is to be able to move runners. I think a lot of times everything has gone because of the money that is made in the game today, that they try to go for personal stats, and you can't win with personal stats. You can win by doing the little things it takes to win ball games.
What about the theory that a few managers I've heard express over the years, like certain hitters to be first ball hitters, feeling that the pitcher tries to get ahead by getting that first pitch in there, and a lot of hitters just stand there and look at it?
Well, there's certain hitters that are good first ball hitters. And those hitters that are first ball hitters, we go over in meetings beforehand. And if they're a first ball fastball hitter, I will have my pitchers never throw them a strike on the first pitch. And a lot of times they will swing at anything. And so you go over in a meeting before the ball games and discuss how every hitter tries to do or what he's trying to do with you. It is, we spend a lot of time defensing hitters and talking to our pitching staff how to pitch hitters.
What about strategy in the game of baseball? Is there much today, or is it pretty much played as you and I have both known it?
Well, you know, the strategy in the game, I think the thing we were talking about earlier about anybody watches 5 or 10 baseball games, they all think they can manage. And that's what makes our game so interesting. because everybody has their own viewpoint. You know, you sit there and I have one guess or one choice, so to speak, whether I want to bunt, whether I want to hit and run, whether I want to squeeze. And I have that choice. I make it immediately. Now, it may be wrong or right. Whether it works or not is what makes it right or wrong. Well, if it works, everybody says, well, that's what I would have done in that situation. But if it does not work, they'll say, why didn't he bunt in that situation, or why didn't he hit and run? But that, I think, is what creates an interest for the fans of our game, because they understand the game and they know what's going on.
Now, you have a pretty good running ball club, don't you?
I've got some guys that have a little speed. I think we have basically speed from first to third is what I like, rather than, say, guys that steal bases. I think if I would have one wish, I would like a leadoff hitter that had a great deal of speed that could stay, say, steal 60, 70 bases a year. I think this adds a new dimension to a ball club. The other ball clubs worry about guys when they get on there that can steal bases.
Somebody this year has stolen over 90. Who's that?
Well, Henderson at Oakland has, young player at Oakland has stolen 98 bases. Omar Marino at Pittsburgh has stolen 96, and Ron LaFleur at Montreal has stolen 94. So it's been quite a year. Either the catcher's arms are getting bad or these guys are getting faster. I don't know what it is.
What does a major league club have to draw to have a profit today?
Well, that is really depending on the salary structure of that ball club. We have a number of free agents on our ball club, but they were signed a number of years ago. So you're talking about they're not making, say, the money the free agents are making on today's market when they signed long-term contracts 4 or 5, 6 years ago. But I think, for instance, our break-even point with California is probably 1,700,000 people.
Now, that's in spite of the fact that you automatically start with $1 million a year every club gets from baseball for the national televised games. For your radio and television, there must be another couple of million, right?
Well, certainly on our local television package and our radio package, we do business with KMPC and KTLA Channel 5 out there, which are both Gene Autry-owned properties. So he's got it all. He's got the ball club, and he's got the radio station and the television station.
Well, baseball is a tremendous game, and I think it's more popular than ever.
I really do. You know, we're probably going to draw more people. We've won 65 games this year. We've had a terrible season, but we drew 2,400,000 people. So we've had the kind of year that we started out. We had 18,000 season tickets sold and had that money in the till, so to speak, before we ever started. So it's been a good year, and I know that the fans in Anaheim have still come out, still supported our ball club, even though we've had a terrible season, and they are anxiously awaiting next year.
How much money does a road team get when you play here, for example, at Sox Park? How much do you get a ticket?
Well, I think it's runs around 20%. I'm not sure, but it's about 20% of the gate. They are different in the National League. They just have the people that show up. But in the American League, they count the season tickets, and they get a percentage of that also.
Do you like the designated hitter rule?
I like it to the extent because it creates a little more excitement as far as offense go. There are many people that say it is tougher to manage in a National League because they don't have the DH. Where I feel differently about that, I think it's tougher to manage with the DH, because the most important part of our game is pitching. And it's tougher to manage pitching with a DH rule. In the National League, if your pitcher's down by 2 or 3 runs and he comes up to hit, you naturally pinch hit for him. That pitcher gets a time or a chance to rest his arm. Where in our league, you might leave him in the ball game because you don't have to pinch hit for him.
Jim, thanks a lot for being with us today. We've enjoyed it a lot.
By my pleasure.
Our guest today has been Jim Fregosi, an outstanding ball player in his playing days, and now the manager of the California Angels. Remember, a big football game on at 1 o'clock, Ohio State and UCLA, that should really be something. Have a nice weekend, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.